This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com, Boots Muscle Growth, and Blue Torch Body Fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Also by BlackStarLabs.com, you can save 10% every time you use the code FIT10 at checkout. That's FIT10. Throw that in the comments section and save 10% on every order. And RobertsonTrainingSystems.com, high-octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. And before we get started, I know I say it's episode number 97, but it's 96. Enjoy. Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is FitCast episode number 97. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and there's Jip. Where the no? I guess there's no Jimmy Smith this week. It's just me. I'm by myself, and I'm just here to talk to you a little bit before we get into the interview with Scott Abel this week. We talked to Scott earlier in the week during my day off, so. We have a nice, I think it's about a 30-minute long interview. You'll be able to tell by the length of this podcast that you're looking at right now. But there's just a couple things that I wanted to quickly talk about. I have some cool things going on in my fitness and nutrition life. First thing I want to talk about is I got a new favorite product from GNC. And I really never have favorite GNC brand products, but I do have one for this week, and that is they have flavored creatine monohydrate at GNC. And I know we've talked about, you know, like having your Crystal Light and throwing in some creatine into that, but you know what, this does it for you. It's all in one package, and it's the same exact price as their creatine monohydrate anyway, so it's like they're giving you free flavoring. And I was jumping in to GNC last week because when I moved to, I'm now in California, in Santa Monica, and I didn't have any creatine. So I decided, you know, it's probably save money on shipping and just easier to run out to the store, and it's gold card week. And I got my gold card thanks to my friend Adam that works at GNC. He got me a free one. So I went down to GNC. And, you know, it's great. They have buy one, get one half off. I'm like, fine. You know what? Let's just buy my creatine here. We'll get this over with. It was right near the Costco that I was shopping at anyways, and Costco does not sell creatine. They only sell that. If people go to Costco, they sell the EAS, like, horrible, gross-tasting whey protein. And I think it's a 10-pound bag they sell it. And it is just, stay away from that. That stuff. I'm lucky enough to be able to get my stuff from Black Star Labs. Their whey protein tastes like outstanding, and they're really the only whey protein that I've ever been able to, you know, like really tolerate for taste. If I'm ever in a pinch, I'll go with Optimum Nutrition. But they for some reason they tend that the Optimum Nutrition stuff tends to give me like stomach problems, but I won't get into that. But anyways, I was at GNC, and I'm looking around. I'm like, oh, God, they got this. What is this? It's creatine monohydrate, and it's flavored. They had fruit punch flavor, and they also had blue raspberry flavored. I'm like, you know what? I tend to have fruit punch stuff, Crystal Light, so I'll get blue raspberry. I mean, how bad can it be? There's no sugar. They're using Splenda to sweeten the stuff, so it's just like Crystal Light. And I decided, you know what the hell, let's buy a tub of creatine monohydrate unflavored, and we'll get a thing of this flavored stuff to give it a shot. I mean, worst case scenario, I'm out $15. You know, it's not going to be that big of, or it was like $13, but I won't be living on the streets if I don't like it. So I decided to pick it up, brought it home, did a, it's pretty much the same measure, just a heaping teaspoon is going to give you 5 grams of creatine, so I did two, and I threw that in a cup of water, drank it down, tasted fantastic, tasted outstanding. There's no grainy taste to it like I tend to get when I do mix it with Crystal Light. It's like it just mixes perfectly, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's a great product. And if you are in GNC and you're able to, if you have a gold card or a friend with a gold card, and you go in there during the I think it's like the first 7 days of the month, and they have a buy one, get one half off sale going on for their products. It's worth a shot, you know, and it's good. It's something that I have, just all I have with me is branched-chain amino acid tablets. So I just take a little bit of that creatine monohydrate, throw that in some, in the flavored creatine monohydrate, throw that in some water and pop some branched-chain amino acids before I go to the gym, because I don't have a gym bag, so I can't really, I'm a little too lazy to carry around, you know, a shaker for my branched-chain amino acids and a water bottle, and not to mention I have to keep my keys in my pocket and stuff, so it's kind of a pain in the butt. I don't really, you know, trust leaving my stuff out in Gold's Gym. So that's that. So I mean, it's worth giving a shot. You can go check it out. You can probably even order it from their website. I don't know, but that's that. Second thing I want to talk about is that I'm living in Santa Monica. I looked around for gyms, and the cheapest place that was realistic in terms of my needs and that, you know, like a power rack and being able to have a good assortment of dumbbells and not be too busy and all that stuff. So I checked out Gold's, and I went in there, and I'm doing a month-to-month membership, and it's kind of a rip-off. It's $60 a month for the 4 times a week that I go there, but you know what? I'm not going to complain. It could only be for 3 months. If I end up staying out here longer, I can always get a year membership through MTV, which they get like a 50% discount. So I might do that eventually. But I went into Gold's Gym, and it was great because I had someone, you know, I'm like, can you just show me the place around? He's like, you need to see the gym. Like, yeah, I need to see the gym. If I'm going to give you, I think it was like $60 to join, plus I had to pay first and last month's membership fees. So I'm like, yeah, I want to see the place. You know, I got to make sure it does everything I want it to do. So if you've ever been in the Gold's Gym at Venice, or if you know a little bit about it, that's where like bodybuilding started. That's where Arnold was training. They have pictures of all the Mr. Olympians and one picture of the natural bodybuilder, one natural bodybuilder, but the rest were the Mr. Olympians. It's got a decent atmosphere. They got some good music going on in the background, and there's really three main rooms. There's one room that has dumbbells, it has some like adjustable benches, and things like that. And there's machines in the middle. There's only 4 racks in the whole gym. There's 4 racks. That's it. And luckily that I've done like lower body stuff 3 times. This is the 3rd time was today. And I've only had to wait for a rack once, which is today. I had to wait about 10 minutes because some buttheads were doing shoulder presses with 5-pound plates on each side of the bar. Whoop-de-frickin-do. And it was one of those groups. It was a group of, like, college guys who were, like, doing the same program. So I'm like, great, I want to front squat. And you guys are using the barbells. Well, there's already preset barbells. There's like literally 80, okay, maybe not literally 80, there's maybe like 40 preset barbells, preset weights that people can use. Go use those. You're using up a whole rack. And I'm not one for confrontation, so I wasn't going to go up and, you know, to discuss and say, you know what, you guys, first you probably shouldn't be bringing the bar behind your neck, but you know what, go for it. You're a pro. But oh, and I forgot, it was really funny, the guy that was signing me up, he sat me down, and they have like little desks for each of the, I don't know if he was a personal trainer or if he was just people that help with memberships. And he's like, so, you know, you on your application form, you didn't like mark down what are your goals? What do you want to do? He's like, what do you want to do? Do you want to lose weight? Do you want to tone up? Do you just want to get firm? Do you want to, you know, get bigger, get, you know, muscular size? Like, what do you want to do? I'm like, I don't need any help with that. I'm just kind of, you know, want to do my own thing. He's like, no, well, you know what? We actually do have personal trainers here. So if you want, you can get a personal trainer and they'll help you out with your goals. So we're just wondering. I mean, I just want to have some of that information in case you do want a personal trainer in the future. I'm like, no, I'm not really interested in a personal trainer. I do my own thing. I do, you know, strength. I deadlift. I squat and I bench. So I'd like to stick with that, and I'd like to go out on my own. It's like, and I didn't even like point out the fact. It's like, oh, so you think I need to get bigger? Because if you go in a Gold's Gym in Venice, I'm not kidding. I swear to God, I'm not exaggerating. When I say 40% of the men there look like they're on roids. They're gigantic men. Gigantic people. Huge. And there's like guys in their 60s that look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, you just... Genetics are great, but 98% of the people out there can't do that naturally. And there's guys that just look... They are gigantic, and they're doing sets of 30. Like, this guy was doing barbell bicep curls for sets of 30, and I was, like, watching him, and he did 5 sets of 30. Great. Go for it. If you guys want to mess with your body like that, feel free. I'm not, you know, I don't have problems with my body. I like to get stronger. I like to have no pain in my body. You know, that's cool. And it was even better. I was deadlifting. Must have been 3 days ago. It would have been Thursday morning. And I was deadlifting, and I was like warming up, and I was just getting ready. And it's kind of cool. Some guy let me have some of his chalk, so I was able to use that instead of my straps. And started deadlifting, started warming up, and I'm still doing Eric Cressy's maximum strength program from his book, which you guys I did an interview with him this week as well, which you'll catch in 2 weeks from today. But so I started deadlifting, and like the protocol was, I think it was 5 sets of 5 for the deadlift, and I started warming up. I was just doing like 315 for sets of 5, and I was feeling really good that day. So I'm like, you know what, let's see what my 1 rep max is looking like. So I'm going up, and I got 420 on the including the bar on ready to deadlift. And like, you know what, when you're doing, like, my upper limit is about 415, and I just threw in 420 just because the plates were there. They had the 2.5 pound plates. So I was getting ready to go. I was just trying to get psyched up. I had my iPod shuffle going, and I think we had some Bombs Over Baghdad from Outkast, which was going. And you know, I was just psyching myself up, getting ready, and I deadlift, I pulled 420, and people like were looking at me like I was nuts, because there was guys that were 3 times the size of me that were doing machine work. Like, all they probably have never touched a barbell except to do curls. And it's so different just seeing that. Like, the only time like I've been in a commercial gym, I mean, a lot of people are doing dumbbell stuff and some barbell, but not like, the machines take up 75% of the room in Gold's Gym. And I'm not even kidding. Like, it's just machines upon machines upon machines. There's 2 flat benches in Gold's Gym. This is like the biggest Gold's around. There's 2 flat barbell benches. There's 2 incline benches. That's it. One cool thing is that I was benching the other day next to Tim Meadows from Saturday Night Live. That was kind of interesting. But so far, I mean, for $60 a month, I'm like really disappointed. Like, I've gone in some mornings and I couldn't bench because there was a line to use the bench press. So I just switched it up and I did some dumbbell bench instead. But it's, I don't know, it's just frustrating. And I'm sure, like, if you guys like did the same thing, you'd be on the same page as me. It's pretty disappointing. But that being said, I mean, it's nice to be set up out here. It's interesting to see people that are gigantic. I saw one of the Mr. Olympians there. I think it was Franco or Frank Colombo. That might be it. I'm not sure. I don't know. Mr. Olympians Jimmy would probably know better. He's spending time with the family. It's Father's Day here in the States. But I think that's about it for me. Those are just two things I wanted to talk about. I think people might find interesting if you have like your own Gold's Gym stories, or if you've been to the Venice Gold's Gym, or if you're training there right now. Shoot us an email at questions@thefitcast.com, or send them to kevin@thefitcast.com. Either way, and maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that on next week's show. I'm pretty wiped out, so I think that's going to be about it for me. Coming up right after the break is going to be Scott Abel, who we had on the show. We had some good questions, and we're going to have to get him to come back on again, because he definitely alludes to some good topics in the interview. I think you guys will really like it. But until next time, that's going to wrap it up for me. You're just going to hear closing music after the interview with Scott, and that's it. Have a great 2 weeks, everyone. Again, thanks for listening. You can check us out on iTunes. Check out thefitcast.com. And go Celtics. They're playing in about 3 hours. So take care, everyone. And again, thanks for listening. See you. With us right now is Scott Abel. You probably know him from his articles up on TNation.com. Also his website, scottabel.com, where you can pick up his products such as The Science Behind the Cycle Diet, the 6-Day Met Hybrid Training Program, and much more. Scott, we had you back on in the past, and now we have a full block for the show, so I want to welcome you back to the show.
Beautiful. Thanks for having me.
Well,
appreciate it.
We also have Jimmy on the line. I probably should mention him, but
yeah, oh, that's okay.
No, Jimmy doesn't need an introduction. He just has a constant presence. So we do have some questions from the listeners, but Jimmy, you're going to start out for us.
Yeah, actually, this is not a question from the listeners, Scott, but it's a question that I'm sure you've gotten a lot. And you come from a bodybuilding background. You're very still well known in the bodybuilding field. Now with your innervation training, your MET, your MET training, it's a lot of full body, multi-joint, multi-plane movements. So we have that MET training saying, okay, we can build muscle. Then you have people saying, this is Scott Abel, the bodybuilding coach. How do you answer, or how do people, end up getting by on that MET training and saying, okay, I'm going to gain an inch of my biceps doing a, frontal plane lunge, for example, or, you kind of know where I'm going with the question.
Well, can you refine the question a little for me? I mean,
I'm all over the place. Take your typical bodybuilding training, arm day, uh-huh, back day, shoulder day, and now we have your MET training that's full body, multi-range of motion, multi-plane rather. How do you take that MET training and say, okay, this MET training is going to get you big and muscular?
Well, first thing I do is have to address a client's needs state. What does a client need? It's not always often what they think they need. Oftentimes, guys that have been in the sport, like I was for years and years and years, with single plane, single joint kind of overload, suffer a lot of overuse trauma. And the only way around that is to get them to do things that they're not accustomed to doing. Now, that's the easy part of explaining MET. Overload is overload. But there are other benefits as well, because over time you get a lot of neural confusion when muscles don't work together like they're meant to work. So even short bursts of MET training, as long as they're done to failure or with high intensity, are going to induce an adaptive response. So we have to get past the idea of the principle that of overload being progressive resistance training. That's taken way out of context and always has been. The idea of overload, it was always that you adapt to more stress. of overload. So that can be progressive resistance, but in my book, I like to call it progressive intensity training. So multi-planar training can be just as effective to inducing growth as can be, increasing proprioceptive demand. It doesn't always have to be the amount of weight that's on the bar or that you use with your body. If you can set up some kind of neural inclusion, then you can definitely force an adaptive response. But, you know, it's not just about, okay, well, the Met is whole body and the bodybuilding is body part specific. Again, that's really reductionist and kind of nearsighted in terms of the whole methodology. You know, the methodology itself stands on its own. It doesn't have to be one or the other. You know, there's a whole integration involved, and I think people miss that because most people in the strength industry tend to be reductionists. So they tend to want to reduce everything to, you know, lowest common denominators, and there's a lot that can be lost doing that. So, you know, reductionists tend to be a little short-sighted as far as I can see. And then again, you got the traditionalists as well. That just, you know, anything that doesn't fall under the umbrella of traditional training is not right for them. And again, you know, right becomes a matter of opinion rather than addressing a true need state. So for me, it's all about the need state, and a lot of that leads to hybrid, what I call hybrid training.
Scott, that the book that you mentioned, is that the ABLE approach that's available on your site?
Sure. Yeah, that's the ABLE approach. Yeah, it's now available as a download as well. So,
cool.
Yeah, I'll be getting a lot of good feedback from it, even from colleagues that I actually quote in the book, have actually been quite kind in their reviews of it. So, I think it's a valuable tool to look at because I do come into the industry and look at things a little bit sideways compared to the standard educational format. You know, and the old saying is when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change as well. So if people want to see an alternative viewpoint, then I'm definitely the person to view through my eyes.
Well, we do have some questions from the listeners, so we'll jump into the first one that comes from Greg. He says, hi guys, first off, I want to say a huge thank you for the last interview with Scott. I was hoping you might be able to ask Mr. Abel in the upcoming interview about how he might structure innovation training for beginners. I realize it depends on the individual, but I imagine that there are some basic principles perhaps resulting from factors like TEP in the cycle of intensity. Keep up the great works. And again, that's from Greg.
Well, I'll answer Greg. Obviously, when he mentions the circle of intensity and the training efficiency percentage, obviously he's read my book or found some articles somewhere. So I think the main aspect of any kind of training, again, addressing that individual need state, is the individual. And it's so negated now with all this pomp and circumstance on internet trainers and you know, the media has always created gurus who try to slot people into their training rather than treating each individual as an individual and formulating the training around them. So I'll answer that on two different levels. You know, from a coaching perspective, one thing that, you know, I've always stressed that I address is that I don't just come at this from, you know, physical answer to physical issues. There's also the, you know, a mental, emotional aspects of that as well. But on the physical side of it, you know, the first thing to do is, like I just said earlier, concentrate on intensity. So, you know, focus on progressive intensity rather than progressive resistance. It's not about lifting more and more. It's about lifting better and better. So that's a really key element. It's not so much strength as it is the strength endurance over the course of a workout. So I would suggest, you know, in general, if you're going to just advocate general advice across the board, then it's important to surf the curve, always the strength curve, create volume in your training. The only way to enhance workload capacity in my mind is through volume. All this low volume, one set to failure stuff is a load of crap for anyone that really understands methodology. Train to failure, especially in the early years. You have to train to failure. Again, even within surfing the curve. So whether you're doing 5 reps or 50 reps, do it to failure. train with multiple angles. Lots of research. Again, refer to my book. The chapter on innovation training refers to the research on functional differentiation and segmented utilization of muscles in action, which basically proves that, you know, the angle of contraction is just as important as the intensity of contraction, and both of those are more important than the load that is used. So again, coming at it from a little different vantage point. And then, you know, I would say one of the other most important things, because I don't want to be another expert who just misleads people with all the physical stuff, is to look at the mental side of it. You have to approach training with including yourself as a variable as well. So, you know, as a coach, I think the number one thing for coaches is to focus on process and not results. And I think most coaches have that the other way around. When you focus on process, the results will take care of themselves. So as an individual trainee, you know, strive not for perfection, but strive for excellence. And there's a huge difference. And hopefully I'll touch on what I mean by that later on. But, you know, getting a lot of attention because of my blogs and stuff about being a Tao athlete and what that means, the Tao Te Ching and whatnot. And it refers to the mental aspects of innervation training, MET training, or any other kind of training. So to get away from the physical for just a second, you know, you have to answer as a trainee, you have to answer the key question, are you the result of the application of your workout? And most people would want to say, yes, I'm the result of the action, but you're not. You're not the result of the application of your workout. The application of your workout is the result of you. So, you know, the whole thing is to be present within the workout. The more stuff you have to think about because of training dogma, then the less present you're going to be for that. So, you know, the corollary to that question is intensity an experience of the expression of your workouts? And again, no, intensity is what you bring to the experience of your workout. So, you know, it's looking at things and you always consider yourself as the deciding factor. And then the other things, you know, come after that. So is process important? Process is absolutely important. But at the same time, you got to recognize yourself as part of the process, which is not about counting reps and sets. So for me, the mental part in coaching, the mental part is just as important to get people to recognize, you know, what they're investing and why they're investing in it. So the physical stuff, and then, of course, inclusive in that is the mental stuff that I just mentioned.
Yeah, I think, Scott, that no one really focuses on the mental aspect of it. You know, a really great scene in the movie Pumping Iron is, whether you want to laugh at it or not, is that Arnold talks about visualizing how his muscle should feel, how it should look at the end of a workout. And I don't think anybody really takes that mental approach to training.
No, especially...
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, especially these days. I mean, you know, because of, you know, scientism has now replaced traditionalism, then there's this whole whack of what I call voodoo guru spells that are cast to think about all these ridiculous things when you're training, which negates the whole mental experience of why you're there. And that is dangerous. You know, all that does is add the illusion of control without real control. And when you add the illusion of control, then you subjugate experience to that, and that will lead to no results at all. So, you know, teaching people what they should be focused on is the right thing, and it's not about, you know, specific set and rep parameters. Is it so much as the experience of those things? So I talk about that in the ABLE approach as well when I talk about the fallacies of the training log and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fantastic point because, again, too many people focus on just going to the gym and getting a workout as opposed to how they feel it. And that's traditional bodybuilding right there for you, is feeling a muscle. And I think we lose sight of that. And I want to talk about some of your more dieting approaches now, Scott. This question comes from Stu. He says, I'm the proud owner of both your ABLE Dietary Principles CD and your Science Behind the Cycle Diet DVD, which I actually have both of them as well. That said, I noticed a discrepancy in the caloric recommendations from your Cycle Diet DVD and your Dietary Principles CD. In your Cycle Diet DVD, you recommend intakes of 10 to 12 times body weight. Yet in your Dietary Principles CD, you state that you ate 1,800 calories a day while at 240 pounds. Can you help to clarify this? Thanks, Scott. I love your work. And about to start MET.
Huh, good. You know, I can clarify it in a bunch of ways. First, I think I was actually 260 pounds at the time. So, you know, grant me that extra 20 pounds as a former plate head there. You know, here's the thing. When I speak to groups or do seminars or appearances or whatnot, you have to speak in generalities. I mean, that's just the way it is. You can't speak to every individual in the room because they're all individuals. So, you know, I mean, Jimmy, you're a lot taller and you know, younger than I am. So your BMR-specific needs are going to be relative to you, and mine are relative to me. So, but you know what? Here's a great – it's a good question to sort of – you know, get a little bit off topic with, because, you know, I've always said when it comes to this stuff that, you know, if people look at bodybuilding or building a physique or physique transformation, however you want to call it, you know, they're looking at it the wrong way as something they do, you know, not inclusive of themselves. So what I just said earlier, you know, what is a, you know, the experience for me was dictating to me, you know, that 1800 calories was where I ended up landing. But at the same time, you know, on my spike days and my cheat days, I mean, you know, it just left more room. I mean, I would go out to the same steak place every spike day for, you know, I would have 3 loaves of bread before dinner came, you know, 2 dinner-sized, you know, salads before my 30-ounce steak came. So, you know, it all was relative to my level of experience. And you have to remember that there's a different level of experience to someone who originates a concept and understands it better than other people. You know, I liken it to, you know, the alphabet. Once you learn the alphabet and the rules of the alphabet, then, you know, there's not a whole lot of stuff left over to study about the alphabet. But when you're still learning the alphabet, then, you know, there's 26 letters and all their combinations to consider. So, you know, I can speak in generalities for groups, but when it comes to individualization, you know, that's what it's all about. And for myself, that's what it ended up working down to. So it's really not a discrepancy so much as it is just me practicing what I preach by paying attention to the individual. And in that case, the example was myself. So I'm not sure.
I think that you were right when you talked about individual differences and understanding your body. I think science has replaced a lot of the technical aspect of it. And I think when you look at how does my body feel, like I know myself personally, when I tried, the worst year I ever had for building muscle was last winter, because I tried every, you know, full body, different weird set rep scheme workouts, and I put on no muscle doing it. I wasn't training hard because I was following certain protocols.
I was following
protocols, you know, I'm 6'6", 240 pounds now. People would be shocked if they saw the amount of carbohydrates that I eat on a low day when I'm trying to get lean, and I'm getting lean. And
don't even get me started on the low carb bullshit. Better
nope,
delete that.
That's fine. That's fine. We allow it.
You guys got me, Kev?
You know, for a second, just let me pontificate on that a little bit. You know, I call a lot of that pinball training. People bounce, you know, from one sort of kind of training to another kind of training, and, you know, trying to find what works for them. But, you know, I use the example in my book and in my seminars a lot of bodybuilders are a lot like craftsmen of any type, say a carpenter, let's say, or a baker, or you know, I know guys that change their own oil on their car and do all their own mechanical work on their car. If you look at this as being a craftsman, then, you know, if I can use an example, like when I moved, you know, all the electronics had to be redone. I don't have a clue how to do that. You know, my kid does it and sets it up and, you know, doesn't need any kind of written prescription for that. But if you buy electronics and know nothing about electronics, then what do? You go to the handbook and you try to follow the directions. And the problem with trying to follow the directions there is that it leads you to this mentality that there's a right way and a wrong way, and those are your only two options, right? You know, connect wire B to wire A. But if you look at a true craftsman, you know, they just employ the tools and you know, they follow sort of their own working knowledge of something. So at the higher end, you know, you don't get so dictated to by directions, if you understand what I mean. You're not following instructions in a booklet because you're beyond that. So, you know, that's the kind of level of experience that people need to come to. So, you know, a craftsman doesn't follow written directions because the nature of the task determines his own thoughts and motions and the potential of, say, a workout or its determinant, you know, from the get-go. So he's not all concerned about, you know, insert plug A into line B or whatever. You have to do that when you're uninitiated, but at a certain level of speciality, then, you know, you let the level of experience, you know, lead you along. And I think that's what's really missing with this concentration, over concentration on science and not enough concentration on the individual. So, you know, that was just a thought on it. You know, when we concentrate on the parts at the expense of the whole, then, you know, it leads to that whole mentality of right and wrong instead of options. You know, instead of possibilities, we see everything as right and wrong. And you know, that leads people down a path of disillusionment and usually, you know, not seeing results. So that's just a more, you know, off topic kind of comment.
But that's good. We welcome those. We welcome those off-topic, you know, sections. We do have the next question that we seem to get this question for almost every one of our guests. But this one comes from Roger from Ann Arbor, Michigan. He says, "What do you consider to be the absolute necessary supplements? Is it hard to discern what is hype and what is needed in order to build a great body since many of the best were built before supplementation ran rampant?"
Well, I think he just answered his own question. You know, I mean, I'm not the right guy to ask for that. I always say I'm not the right guy to ask for that because I've been booted from more website and magazine groups because of my opinion on supplements. So, you know, I think for the most part that supplements are pretty much useless. That doesn't make me many friends in the industry, but you know, I have a huge background in supplements and how the industry of supplements really runs. And my biggest problem isn't necessarily with supplements themselves, but now what's happened is it's become an industry unto itself, and it creates what I call the supplement mentality. And that mentality is a mentality of weakness because it caters to this mentality that I need something outside of myself to reach the goals, you know, and the advertising and marketing of supplements just pounds all over that. And a lot of people aren't even at a level where those supplements would make a world of difference in their training, you know, either way. And, you know, I always counsel people, you know, take a 12-week approach to not using supplements. And if you truly notice, you know, the lack of those supplements, you know, adversely affecting your results, then by all means go back on them. But you know, we totally underestimate the power of the placebo effect from this industry, and we really underestimate the mental manipulation that goes on in terms of getting people to buy into, literally buy into, the supplement mentality. And once you have that mentality, it's hard to shake it. So you know, I get people just right hostile about my approach to the non-supplement approach to supplements for, you know, the first couple of years. And it's funny because I'm the one telling them that the strength lies within themselves, and they want to fight me about it. So it's kind of a reverse mentality, you know, of, you know, what could you possibly know? I have all these studies that tell me about the benefits of this and that. And, you know, what I know about studies is a whole other topic. But we get confused again in this industry that studies are science, and they're not. They're scientism. And that's an ideology of science and an ideology of credence to studies that aren't necessarily science. They just take a specific look at a specific thing in a specific way. And, you know, the conclusions aren't necessarily, you know, true or false. They're just conclusions based upon that particular you know, endeavor. So you know, it's a very dangerous field to sort of, you know, walk your way through. But I'm not a big believer that any supplements are necessary. That's my approach, and it's been working well.
No, it's not a bad approach. I mean, people definitely kind of get a really too bogged down with supplements. I actually kind of feel better the more I stop reading all the supplement hype that's out there, because there is a lot. I mean, there's some really reputable companies. At the same time, you just get flooded with too much hype. It's like, you know, supplement hype's like email. You know, you just get flooded with too much of it.
You mean like spam email? Yeah.
Yeah, like spam email. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? And you know, I know some people, you know, that aren't very reputable, that, you know, get a great income from flogging supplements that do nothing. So, You know, my whole thing is let's get back to process. Process is what's so important, and people don't understand that, and supplements are not part of process, especially in the first, I don't know, 5, 10 years of training. They're just not a necessity. So, you know, what is a necessity? You know, what are the tools in the toolbox? Well, for me, they're not supplements.
Right, right. I mean, especially there's so much shady stuff going on in the supplement industry.
Guys, you have no idea, and I would love to discuss what I know about the supplement industry, but I mean, people are
right.
rolling over in their graves. I mean, it's just you know, just not it. You know, I mean, like I said, I was part of it, so you know, I know the good, bad, and indifference, and you know, people are being manipulated, and it's funny that they're so successful at manipulating these people that they actually will defend their use of supplements, even when you're trying to empower them, that, you know, maybe it's you making the gains and maybe the supplements have very little to do with it. But, you know, another time I could explain the whole fallacy of, you know, the benefits of whey protein and whatnot. I mean, it's an easy thing to walk through, but see right now, I mean, they confuse you with science. So they come up with all these fast acting, short acting, casein versus albumin versus, you know, and what that does is it negates the question to begin with, is it necessary? You know, they already have you not only buying into the whey, but now let's be an expert on, you know, when we time our whey and what kind of whey we need to take and yada, yada, yada. So it's a very successful marketing tactic. Unfortunately, you know, it's just not a necessity. You know, powders don't make champions. So it's just the way it is.
All right. Another question, let's switch it back to training again. This is kind of a very typical question, so I'm sure a lot of our listeners would like it. And they start off by saying, not another full body versus body part split question, or maybe yes. Let's put aside the obvious. You have a 160-pound male who wants to put muscle on him. Full body workout, we got it. Let's move on. On one side, you have people advocating full body anytime versus other people who advocate body part splits on any given Sunday. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, again, here we go with, you know, science is dogma. So, you know, why does somebody have to be one or the other? You know, why not a hybrid of you know, many options? So, you know, if people look at my various MET projects, for one, the one I just brought out, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's whole body hypertrophy. It's a combination of you can see video clips of it on my homepage, but it's, you know, it's a combination of both and a bunch of other things. And, you know, the actual athlete in it is a professional natural bodybuilder, Kevin Weiss, who's, you know, won nationals and been in, you know, natural pro shows, natural bodybuilder, trained here in my dungeon with very little equipment, and basically combine the two. You know, it doesn't need to be an either or, and that's the problem with this whole, you know, guru-itis, is that everybody has a position to take a stand with, and you know, unfortunately, that just leads to people taking positions to have a stand with. And you know, what is the need state of the client is what's important, and for me, it's all about process. And you know, it goes back to the first question about, you know, advice for innovation training. Let me, if I can, just sort of be specific about what the experience of process, and process meaning your protocol or your training or your workout, you know, that's a 4-step process. One, study the process. Two, reflect on the study of the process. Three, apply the reflection of the study of the process. And four, integrate all of those above things. Has nothing to do with what books you read and you know, what studies you can quote. I mean, that's all great for internet copy and to make someone look you know, knowledgeable, but you guys both know. I mean, you guys are both, you know, well educated in the area, and you know, we've all read the same stuff. So what separates someone else, you know, from being, you know, a great coach from an average coach or an okay coach? It's definitely not the materials they've read. So, you know, it's the application of process. You know, some people are just better at interpretation and stuff. And what I try to get my clients to understand is to be open-minded to an integrated approach depending on their needs state. So, you know, why does it have to be a whole body approach? That makes no sense to me. But at the same time, why does it have to be a body part split approach? That makes just as little of sense to me. So, you know, it just depends on, you know, you can look at the individual's need state from what they've been doing for the last several months to several years, or you can look at them in terms of an individual specimen. What are their anatomical leverage points? Like yourself, Jimmy, 6'6". Well, you know, that speaks to me some very intricate individual, you know, proponents for you specifically versus someone, you know, say like myself, you know, at my age and my height and, you know, things like that. So, you know, there's all those things to consider. So to just sort of block it off in terms of, well, you know, I'm a whole body guy or, you know, I'm a body part split guy. That tells me that, you know, whoever's advocating that, you know, isn't really as well informed as they claim to be. And I don't care, you know, who it comes from. I try not to follow who writes what or who says what. But when I see this stuff, and you know, sometimes it's from some very you know, well reputable experts. But it just speaks to narrow-mindedness and short-sightedness, because you know, we have to be inclusive, because there's all kinds of components to strength, you know, and there's force production, force reduction, stabilization strength, you know, resisting strength, I mean, coordination factors, proprioception. I mean, these can all contribute to many different offsets of results. So, you know, again, a good coach is process-based, and then, you know, the results will speak for themselves if they really know their stuff.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of – we take this one size fits all. I mean, I personally – like every article I write, a lot of the programs I write, and even in my new ebook that's coming out, I talk about taking both concepts, taking the best, putting it together. We need the volume. We need the intensity. We need the multiple ranges of motion. We need all this to grow at, you know, at least optimally the most. So I think, sure, we can't take this one size fits all.
Yeah, and you know, the only – thing that does fit into that, if I was going to be, you know, if I was going to be specific, you know, the whole low volume, you know, thing that just reeks of not even understanding the basic principles. But, right, you know, in terms of the one size fits all, that speaks more to the person who's advocating it than it does to the actual person who's trying to implement it. You know, I've always quoting lately that, you know, unlearning is becoming the new learning paradigm. For me, I'm trying to get more people to unlearn what they think they know, you know, than actually apply something that's, you know, that's accepted as knowledge when it's anything but. And it's, you know, goes back to a phrase called the Zen mind. I don't know if you guys know anything about Zen, but, you know, the Zen mind approach is basically, you can't learn anything with a full rice bowl. Basically, you know, empty your bowl in order to accumulate more knowledge. If it's already full of what you think you know, then you're not going to be able to learn anything, you know, an alternative or a new or a possibility. And that's the problem, I think, right now with experts. Everybody's trying to fight to be right rather than to do right. And, you know, until they empty their bowls and accept that maybe they don't know everything, you know, then they're not going to be open to possibilities and alternatives. So, yeah, one size never fits all. Not even close.
Right. Quick question, Scott, about cardio. Since, again, you come from that bodybuilding background, you had a fantastic blog post, and I think you turned into an article about the merits of high-intensity intervals. Is there ever a time you do recommend the slow and steady? Old school, you know,
sure.
40 minutes. Yeah, there is. Like, when do you recommend that?
Well, not very often. I'll recommend it to people who are resistant of change. So, you know, if traditionalists are going to fight me on something, then, you know, I still want to get the best for them or the most out of them. The other thing is, okay, what, again, addressing the need state, you know, what is the size and involvement of the client in front of me, and how much effort goes into their real workout, and how much time and energy is left according to their lifestyle, you know, after that. So I use it. I don't use it a lot because, you know, interval training is far more effective, and, you know, MET training even more specifically, because MET training doesn't have to be all lower body oriented. So, but you'll burn a lot more fat, you know, with sprint intervals than you will with steady state cardio. I mean, any expert knows that. So, unfortunately, the trickle down hasn't kind of got there to the general public yet, and people love to cling to their traditional ideas. So, you know, I employ steady state every so often, but it's a last resort.
Okay, Scott, I got another actually question for you. We have a lot of closet bodybuilding fans that listen to the show, so it's kind of prediction time. The Olympia is about 18, 20 weeks out, so what's your prediction for it? Who's going to take it, Jay again?
You know what? Hate to disappoint you guys. I don't follow that stuff at all anymore. It's
really?
It's gone far too lunatic fringe for me. So, I still respect the athletes and you know, but you know, I look at the person first, and you know, I respect Jay totally. I've met him a few times and always been, you know, pleasant, nice guy to me. But you know, the sport, the side of the sport itself is you know, something I'm trying to free myself from. So it's not you know, I still train bodybuilders. I still believe in the pursuit of that. But you know, at the same time, you know, I'm at that level. It's just guts. I think I talked somewhere where, you know, my last guest posing event in 2004, what I saw backstage. I mean, I didn't even stay to sign autographs. I left out the back door. I was so disgusted with what I saw. And, you know, I mean, not just from one person, but in general, it was just an overarching accepted attitude of the things I witnessed. And I left out the back door. I didn't stay to sign pictures or anything. And I've never regretted that. It led me in a new direction. And, you know, I'm all for building a body, but not at the cost of self-destruction. Totally. So, you know, there's a lot of that on my up close and personal MP3 download as well. Explains, you know, about the people I know that have died and things like that. So, you know, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem, right? So,
all right, so I guess I won't be sending you that ticket to the Arnold Classic this year, bud.
No, I did. How many of those did I do? Eight or nine, you know, so something like that. You know, been to a number of them. But, you know, I still, you know, I still have a lot of respect for, you know, what it takes to get a package like that and you know, things like that. But, you know, I just enjoy the more real aspect. Like, you know, again, mentioning Kevin Weiss, helped him out with his show last, you know, he did the Natural Olympia. You know, it's just a whole different, you know, approach and a whole different mentality that, you know, is more rewarding for me at this point in my career, you know. So I'm not being judgmental. It's just not something that's for me.
It's just a completely different style of training. Like, if you talk to anybody who's achieved high at a natural bodybuilding level versus anybody who's achieved high at you know, a professional bodybuilding level, you'll find that their training recommendations are completely different. You know, it's just really interesting when you see the two you know, advices to steal a term.
Well, you know what? Let's get real for a minute too. I mean, steroids are the big equalizer. So you know, taking training advice from someone who's on 15 to 20 different pharmaceutical enhancements is a little ridiculous. I mean, just, you know, I mean, they might know their stuff. I've met most of the gurus on both sides of the industry, and I haven't met any in the hardcore end yet that impressed me with, you know, a sound knowledge base. And if you want to include knowledge of pharmaceuticals as a sound knowledge base, you know, whatever.
Right.
For me, even that is on the lunatic fringe. These people aren't doctors, and they're doling out medical advice left and right, and people are dying and accepting consequences that aren't necessary. I mean, you know, you just look in wrestling at all the people, you know, it's not steroids that's killing them, but it's steroids that's leading them to all the other recreational drugs and the antidepressants and the sleep medication and the uppers and the downers. I mean, you know, when you're taking that much testosterone, I mean, you're going to need all these other things to offset, you know, the adrenaline and, you know, so, you know, I'm not trying to pontificate or get off on, you know, if this isn't directed at anybody in particular. It's just, you know, I had a few friends die, and, you know, I mean, that's the final, you know, there's no coming back from that, right? So, right. You know, I discussed that more in depth on a few things, but, you know, for me, it was just time to not be part of that. So, you know, I still train high level athletes, and I try to, you know, do my best to, you know, guide a certain path, but, you know, it's out of my hands in terms of the hardcore end of things. But, you know, like I said, I know experts on both the hardcore and the non-hardcore end of things. And you know, the true experts on that I've met exercise physiology-wise and stuff are in the non-hardcore end. And, you know, again, with steroids being the great equalizer, especially when you're on multiple doses of multiple things, you can't really take, you know, advice from anybody there as legitimate, especially if you're not. you know, taking all those same things. So, sure. You know, that's not gonna earn me any friends, and I hope it doesn't earn me any attacks. That's just how I see it. With, you know, going into my third decade of this this experience, you know, that's just how I see things. So.
Cool.
So sorry about that. If that took you in a different direction.
No, that was good. I mean, I know we have some people here that are bodybuilding fans, and we don't really get a lot of bodybuilding-based talk on the show because it's more geared to, you know, the cover model body crowd, which is nothing wrong with that. But we still have some people that actually enjoy the sport of bodybuilding. You know, if that's for the people that consider it a sport. But anyway, I know Kev, you wanted to talk about some of Scott's information, right?
Scott, actually, I just wanted to mention. For the audience, could you just tell them a little bit about? I know you said you had the Able Approach now available as an ebook, and you also have the MET 2008 workbook as an ebook available as well.
Yeah. If you go to my site, I have two new DVDs that are doing well. I mean, all my DVDs are a little different than most. Mine come with the written programs, and they're usually, you know, five DVD sets. I have one Ultimate Figure program for the ladies that's really popular, and the new Whole Body Hypertrophy, which is not a whole body approach, even though it sounds like that. I mean, it is and it isn't. When you see the written program that comes with it, you realize that it's a hybrid form of training that involves body part specific and you know, total body, multiple plane, multiple joint movements as well. That's really popular. So is my 5-day MET. You know, and like you said, the cycle diet DVD continues to be, you know, just, I don't know, for just really hit the platinum level, I think. So, you know, there's lots available on my site. There's more coming. I just finished a book that I just approved the cover and everything. It should be out by the end of the month or early next month, but it's a whole departure. It's a, you know, sort of a new age wisdom. It's called Your Truth is Calling, Connecting the Dots to Self-Awareness, and it's more about the mental, emotional, and spiritual aspects of you know, being in the world, and it's from the perspective of a coach and all the mistakes and pitfalls that I've seen and witnessed and experienced myself over, you know, three decades of being in the business. So, you know, a lot of, you know, one of the common threads through that book is my phrase, it's not about the diet. So it's just, since diet is something everyone can relate to, I use that as a common theme throughout the book, but that book is coming out soon. And I'm really kind of proud of that book because it's a departure in a whole new area, but an area that is pertinent no matter what your goals are. Because a lot of my experience as a coach is a lot of times people are failing the programs, not physically, but mentally and emotionally, because they can't make the connection. So I wrote that book with that in mind, and that should be out by the end of the month. So,
well, Scott, I really want to thank you for coming back on the show. And of course, for people out there, make sure to check out Scott's site. It's just scottable.com, and we'll throw a link up for that in the show notes, and you can pick up all of his products there. And also, you should check out his blog at scottable.blogspot.com. And I mean, Scott, you got it like all that. You got forums up on your site now, and
that's a good forum there too.
Yeah, my forum is pretty good. Got some pretty smart cookies on it. I just want to interject. Please spell my name right. It's ABEL. Someone else has bought Scott Able, ABLE.com to sort of capitalize on my name, I guess. So it's ABEL. And my blogs are really popular all over the world. I write a, you know, more of a off, you know, it's not about calories, grams, and sets and reps. So this month's blog is about you know, the Tao of climbing mountains, and you know, climbing mountains is metaphorical there. But my blogs get a lot of attention from people all over the world. So if people are interested in sort of you know, a new way of looking at things, then you know, give it a check out. But they're pretty long, so you got to give yourself a half an hour at least. So, but yeah, you know, appreciate the heads up, and you know, hopefully I'll hear from a few people. It's funny, I get on these things with you guys, and I always feel like I never said anything. So,
I know. It always seems like it ends too soon.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, I imparted some kind of, you know, what you were looking for. But you know, I always feel bad when we hang up, like I never said anything substantive. So hopefully, that's not the case.
Well, hopefully, we can. If you don't mind, we'd love to get you back on again in the future to talk some more.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Anytime, guys. You know that.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for us this week. So, again, thank you, Scott. And for everyone else, we will see you in 2 weeks. Take care.